Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Sacha Jenkins, the director of Fresh Dressed, which is at the AFI Docs Film Festival this week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, actually, we spoke with your cinematographer, David Volrath, who's a Virginia native. I think he's living in Brooklyn now, but he was your cinematographer on the movie back. We talked to him back when you guys were at Sundance, so it's my pleasure to speak with the director now. How wild of a ride has it been since, obviously, from Sundance and now at AFI Docs? I mean, it must be a thrill for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's even more amazing for me because it's come full circle, because I lived in Silver Spring until I was about 7 or 8 years old, and then I left Silver Spring and went to New York City, and as a young kid, you know, this thing that the world knows as hip-hop, back then it was just stuff that kids did in the streets, you know, whether it was dance or music or the art form, all that stuff. I left Silver Spring, and my mother told me to go outside with a football and make friends back when you could do that, and everyone else had magic markers and cans of spray paint, and I was like, what is this? And what that was hip-hop culture. So for me to make a film that is, you know, chiefly based on a lot of what I was exposed to as a kid, what would go on to become my DNA, you know, get into Sundance, you know, had a huge, you know, opening in New York last night, and then to have the privilege to come back to Silver Spring, to come to the D.C. area and screen the film. It's almost like I'm coming back home and telling the folks about my wild trip.
A little bit of your homecoming here for both you and David, actually.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What would you say to maybe other, you know, maybe there's like young listeners listening to this that are also down here growing up in Silver Spring or Annandale or Frederick or anywhere around here that, you know, might have these cinematic dreams? Do you think it was crucial for you guys to get out of this area and kind of spread your wings in New York? Or is there a fair amount of doc work that could do down here? You know, what would your advice be for up-and-comers?
Well, you know, with technology, you know, you can be anywhere and be an amazing documentary filmmaker. You just have to find the right subject and, you know, really find new and interesting ways to share that topic or that individual with a group of people. You know, my film, Fresh Dressed, you know, on the surface level is about fashion, you know, and fashion is something that is universal. Everyone's interested in fashion. But really, underneath the fabric of the film, pun intended, are a lot of other issues and things that I really wanted to discuss. So you can, you know, the story of hip-hop has been told a million times, but it hadn't been told through the prism of fashion. And so my advice is find subjects that are interesting, find broad ways to introduce. You know, you could be interested in something that's extremely fringe. That doesn't mean the world should know about it, but you've got to find ways to bring the world to this fringe subject. So if there's a way to attach your small idea to bigger ones, you have a better shot of getting people to come to your party.
And for you, what are those, some of those big ideas that you tried to bring in there? I mean, I know you have some famous faces that you interviewed, but you know, what are some ways that you yourself took this very personal passion idea of yours, and what are some of the big things you connected it to in the movie?
Well, you know, hip-hop was born out of struggle. You know, when I moved to New York in 1977, the Bronx, the South Bronx, was on fire, literally. There was a lot of hopelessness and a lot of despair, and regardless of that, young people found a way to stay creative, and through that creativity, they formed this whole, you know, movement that is no longer a subculture. It's an internationally recognized language with dialects spoken globally. But there was a lot of police brutality and a lot of, like, really unfortunate things happening in the Bronx back then and happening in New York. But ironically, 40 years later, a lot of those same things that we explore at the top of the film that go as far back as 40 years ago, those same things are happening in that same community. So while the film is about fashion and entertainment and creativity and fun and music, it's also about these other sort of sublime issues that refuse to go away even in today's times.
Gotcha. So that was your rooting it in the overall social struggle is your way of maximizing what could have been otherwise this little sort of a niche, one little sliver of it, but you were able to connect it to a bigger movement, which is important. How did you go about visualizing it? I mean, what's the kind of ratio of interviews you guys got versus picking up B-roll up in Brooklyn, or how did you guys pull that off?
Well, I have a journalism background. I've probably interviewed too many people. I interviewed over 80 people for the film. But, and simultaneously, there's a lot of really rich footage from some of the more important hip-hop films that came before. And a lot of these important films, the general public doesn't know. So, at my opening last night, there's a lot of great photography in my film. There's a lot of really important footage in my film from way back. And I told everyone in the audience, we all made this film because the great stuff that many of you had done back then when no one knew what hip-hop would become was so crucial to, telling some really important stories in my film. So I just happened to be really well-versed on these important films and was able to get the blessing and the support from the folks who made those films. And you mix that in with the interviews that we were able to get with everyone from Pharrell Williams to Kanye West to former gang members from the 70s to you name it, that cocktail right there, wound up being something that thus far the response has been pretty good.
That's so awesome. Did you have to, pinch yourself a little bit talking to Kanye and Pharrell and all the others? Why, you can remember listening to hip hop coming up as a kid, and was it a little surreal sitting across from them, interviewing them?
Well, I've been interviewing people for a long time. I mean, I did Eminem's biography. I did doing a book with the Beastie Boys now. I mean, I was once the music editor at a magazine called Vibe, and I mean, I've easily interviewed, I don't even remember how many artists. So
that's worn off. Worn off a little bit. You're used to it now.
Well, I know these guys now.
Right.
Because I've been doing it for so long. So that's not to say, I'm above being in awe of someone. We were struggling and trying really hard to get Kanye, and I didn't think we were going to get him. And then in the 11th hour, it was a Wednesday, they said, hey, can you come to Mexico tomorrow? So we had to pull it together to make it happen, and we went somewhere really remote in Mexico. And when you see the film, there's this really beautiful shot of Kanye all white with the beach in the background, and it's kind of raining, and it's kind of surreal. And it was nice to be in Mexico with Kanye, but he was really engaged, because with Kanye, I mean, he's one person I hadn't interviewed before, but you just don't know what you're going to get. You go into it expecting that he's going to be a particular way. But he was, really turned on and engaged and had some really important things to say about what hip-hop fashion meant to him, when he was coming of age, and how that energy is still a major part of who he is and what he does today, and his just general excitement for fashion. So, we've been very lucky. And Nas is one of the executive producers on the film. Ironically, he and I went to the same junior high school.
Oh, wow.
So
which one was that?
That IS-126 in Astoria, Queens,
Awesome.
And it's amazing to me because, the school that we went to, we basically had babysitters. Nas dropped out in the 9th grade. I probably spent more time there than I should have. I was told, as he was, by guidance counselors, that our only shot in life was if we went to vocational schools.
Wow.
So I got a little choked up last night just retelling that story with Nas in the audience, and he got choked up because there's so many people like us. We're the lucky ones. And I know so many people that I grew up with who were way more talented than I was who didn't have those opportunities. And, in Silver Spring, I grew up in a place called Summit Hill, which I think it's maybe was once a semi-housing project, or I'm not completely sure. Maybe it's changed in the time since. I mean, again, it's been a long time. I remember there was a lot of diversity there, but there weren't, people weren't rich, you know, and I, so then I go from Silver Spring to this other extreme in New York where people really weren't, didn't have, you know, access to resources. And, you know, it's not lost on me that I had the opportunity to make this film, that a lot of people are going to see it, and that it all stems from all of these things that I learned on the streets, you know, and what I learned from young people like me who were just trying to find their identity. And it's just ironic and really powerful to know that hip-hop, you know, the stuff that we did as kids, will go on to help form the identities of many of us. You know, hip-hop is a part of my DNA. It's a part of my identity. And, you know, I feel really lucky to have been a part of that.
Absolutely. Which artists back then, either in Silver Spring or even once you moved up to New York, were, you think, influential on you? Not only as, you know, which music you like, but the fashion as well.
I mean, I'm not really a fashion guy. That's the funny thing, you know. The film is about fashion, but for me, again, it's more about why people wore things. It's not really about what they wear. I think fashion is subjective, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember there were trends when I was a kid, and there were very particular looks that screamed, this is hip-hop. But I'm not really partial to fashion, you know. I think that as long as you're comfortable in what you're wearing, then that's all that really matters, you know.
Well, music-wise, which artists did you dig on back then?
I mean, in 1977, when I was a little kid, I mean, I remember Wings, you know, Paul McCartney and Wings. You know, that's one of my earliest memories. I remember Chuck Brown. You know, I grew up not far from Rock Creek Park, and I remember that people would play live music in the park, and there's that song, Doing It in the Park, you know, Rock Creek Park. I remember that. And then moving to New York, you know, this is before there was really recorded hip-hop. You know, what was going on in New York was kind of like what was happening in D.C. with go-go. I mean, people just playing live music. In New York, people were just playing records. You know, hip-hop initially was just about the DJ. And the rapper, before he was a rapper, he was just the guy who got on the mic and said, hey, if you have the green Pinto that's double parked, you got to go and move it because it's going to get towed. Eventually, the guy on the mic started to, like, rhyme, like, you know.
Now you're rhyming
you're
with your car getting towed.
Yeah, you're not gonna go far if they tow your car,
right,
you know.
Right.
And then that turned into this whole art form. So when I got there, that's what it was, you know. So I couldn't tell you in 1978, like, who my, you know, who I was really into musically.
Right, because it was still all formulating at the time.
Yeah.
You mentioned Paul McCartney, and then, you know, juxtaposed with some of these hip hop artists. I think I saw a study that came out a couple. I can't remember who did it, but maybe USA Today. I can't remember, but it was a couple weeks ago that said, you know, today's music is officially more influenced by hip hop now than the Beatles and the Stones. You know, it said hip-hop had replaced those rock bands in terms of the amount of influence on today's music. So I think it's interesting that you're kind of chronicling this shift in our pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I work with, you know, I publish a magazine called Mass Appeal, and I work with, there are a lot of younger folks who work on the magazine, and young white kids, you know, or young men who were, you know, 21, 22 years old. And, you know, I love Led Zeppelin, you know.
You and me both,
these
buddy.
Kids, they don't know what, they've heard of Led Zeppelin,
right.
But they tell me, oh, you know, my mom bought me the DMX cassette. That's my first album, you know.
Right.
So you have a generation of, and that's what happened before. You know, rock and roll wasn't American music. It was scary. It was, you know, created by those people. But once Elvis did it and other people did it, and once America embraces something, then it becomes American because it's a product that can be sold.
Right.
And hip-hop was scary for a long time, but now that it's been around for so long and so many generations of Americans of various backgrounds have embraced it, it's easy to see why it's become, you know, musically the backbone of what, you know, contemporary folks are into.
Yeah, when you say it puts it in the puts it in perspective when you say my mom got me DMX, man. That blows my mind, but I guess it's true. Enough time has passed that that's crazy. But yeah, it's exactly right. It's in many of our DNA. I'm sure a lot of people will appreciate the movie if they come see it at AFI Docs for that very reason. Remind us when it's screening again.
It's screening. Oh, I should be able to tell you this. It's screening. Screening tonight.
Okay. Friday night.
I believe it's screening Friday night and tomorrow afternoon.
Awesome. And then, what beyond that? I mean, I know you guys hit Sundance and AFI Docs. Is there like a wider release coming up?
Yeah, it's the film on the 26th is going to be released in 11 cities around the country simultaneously. When it's in theaters, folks can go to Vimeo and on a pay-per-view basis stream the film.
Nice. Is DC one of those cities?
Yeah, I believe DC is one of the cities. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Probably like limited release type deal, like maybe E Street Cinema and some places like that. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be in your art house / documentary friendly theaters, and then in the fall it will air on CNN. Since the film was produced with CNN Films, so it's going to air on CNN in the fall. So this film is a lot of people are going to have the ability to see this film, which I'm really excited about.
Awesome. Well, congrats on the wider release avenues and more immediately on AFI Docs. Everybody should go check it out. Not only for an important, timely topic, but also see some guys that originated here in the D.C. area now doing big things in the movie world. Hey, appreciate you joining us, Sasha Jenkins, on WTOP. It was a blast talking to you.
Thanks for having me.